Welcome to Shiloh Baptist Church. We are a place of peace where Jesus is Lord and people are lost. We exist to
employ.
Exalt.
Engage.
Experience. Equip.
Empower.
Good morning. This is Pastor Danielle Brown, Senior Pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church here in Plainfield, New Jersey. We are absolutely elated that you are worshiping with us today. Listen, if you're here in the sanctuary, take a moment to check in on all of your social media pages so that everyone knows that you are here at the Place of Peace. If you're worshiping with us virtually, we're glad that you're here too. And we ask that you would take this moment to like this broadcast. Matter of fact, don't just like it, love this broadcast. Share this broadcast with all of your network and then tag all of your friends and family members in the comments, because we believe that something is going to happen here at the Place of Peace that will change your lives forever and for the better. 2022 is the year that we re-engage, reclaim, rebuild, reimagine, and renew. And we are so excited that you are on this journey with us. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds for the Shiloh experience, which begins now.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We greet you in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those who are worshiping with us virtually, we greet you also in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's go into worship. Everyone all over the sanctuary, let's rise to our feet as we begin with our morning hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. We serve a faithful God and a God that's greater to be praised. Come on, everybody. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is. Come on, church. There is no shadow. Thou changest not. As thou hast been. Come on, proclaim it. Great is thy faithfulness. Great. 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 Yeah. All I have needed. Great is thy faithfulness. Second stanza, summer and winter. Springtime and harvest. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness. Morning. faithfulness. Yes. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord. New mercies. Anybody grateful for new mercies? All I have needed. Thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, mercy I see. All I have is thy. Great is thy faithfulness.
Good morning, Shiloh.
Good morning.
Good morning, Shiloh.
Good morning.
There we go. Can we all bow our heads and close our eyes, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that we go through this service and praise you. We just ask that you just go through us. We feel your spirit go through us. We ask that everybody gets here safely and soundly, and we just have a great service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody bless the Lord on this morning. Come on, lift up your voice, clap your hands, and give the Lord praise in this house. Hallelujah, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. So glad to be in the house of the Lord on this morning. Hallelujah. We bless his name. We bless his name. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Hey, God, we bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
I will rejoice and be
glad. Come on, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We bless your name.
The Lord has made.
I will rejoice. I will bless him at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord, for he truly is a great God. How great, we declare your greatness and your majesty, which reigns forever and ever. How great is our God. Sing it to the rooftop that you are a great God. Yeah, God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, hey, how great, great is our God. Yes. Lord, how great, great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. All over the building, just sing it. How great,
how great.
Somebody say, how great.
How great.
It's our God.
This is the time in our worship service where we pause to recognize our visitors. So will all visitors please stand or remain standing until you've been fully acknowledged? Amen. We are so happy you can come here and celebrate with us because it is our 114th anniversary. So our ushers will be passing out little treats in the gift baskets, and inside there will also be a card. We want you to rip off the bottom half after filling it out and putting it into the offering basket around offering time. Our online visitors, we haven't forgotten you either. This is our roll call time, so make sure you put in your name in the comments and where you're celebrating or worshiping with us from. Again, it's our 114th anniversary, and we're just really happy to have you here with us. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful day to be in worship? Amen. Come on and put your hands together if you are grateful to God. Come on, you can do better than that. I'm going to ask my young people if they will make their way up to the pulpit. Celebrate some of the finest young people on this side of Zion. Come on, clap for them like you was clapping for the Milwaukee Bucks the other night. Come on, clap for them. Let them know how much we love them. Come on, let them know how much we're proud of them. That they're in church using their gifts for the glory of God. All right, so I'm going to move out of the way. They're just going to come, a few of them. Let me ask this first. How many people in here were born in 1908? Amen. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Because they're going to remind us of some 1908 facts. Amen. There's some things that we need to know about that took place and that was happening in 1908. And so I'm going to turn the mic over to Sister Breer Bowers, and then I'm going to slide out of the way and she'll pass the mic down while young people give us a few expressions of what was going on in 1908. Say amen.
Did you know a ball signifying New Year's Day drops in New York City for the first time?
Did you know that coffee was only 15 cents a pound?
Did you know sugar cost 4 cents a pound?
Did you know eggs were 14 cents a dozen?
Did you know the Ford Model T cost $950?
Did you know the greatest sorority of all time, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, incorporated the first Greek letter organization by and for black college women, was established?
Now, can't you leave the Shiloh Baptist Church today with a little bit of knowledge of what was taking place in 1908? Unfortunately, sugar doesn't cost what it used to cost. Neither does eggs, and neither does gas. But we can attest that God is still good, that God still reigns, and that God is still able. Put your hands together for the young people as they exit the pulpit. Praise God for you, and for you, and for you. You guys can exit.
Yes, sir. words from my mouth.
With words from my mouth.
I love you.
I love
you. I need you to survive.
I need you to
come on.
Survive.
Mark your calendars for Men's Weekend, Friday, June 17th through Sunday, June 19th, with our guest preacher, Reverend Ryan Buckland from Tabernacle Baptist Church. And save the dates for our Youth Weekend on July 8th through July 10th with our guest preacher, Minister Jalen Walden from Aspenwall Church of God in Cleveland, Ohio. Join us for in-person Bible study beginning on Tuesday at 11 a.m. with Deaconess Charlotte Banks in the sanctuary and stream to the church website. Followed by Bible study at 7 p.m. with Pastor Brown in the Cultural Arts Center and on Zoom. Join us Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. for our prayer call. Please call 757-841-1415 using access code 673-4192. Men's Fellowship returns in person on Saturday, May 21st at 9:30 a.m. in the Cultural Arts Center. The Martial Arts Ministry is back in action. Please join us on May 21st at 8:30 a.m. For more information, please email martialarts@shilohplainfield.org. Calling all middle school and high schoolers, join us for Friday Night Favor every third Friday of the month at 7 p.m. Shiloh family and friends have various ways to give to Shiloh. Giving can be done by mail, the church website, Zelle using finance@shilohplainfield.org, using Cash App using the hashtag #ShilohPlainfield, PayPal, or Givelify. Congratulations, Reverend Dr. Danielle L. Brown, for being selected for induction with the 2022 class of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Board of Preachers. Congratulations. That's all for now, Shiloh. Enjoy the worship service.
Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you're glad to be in the Lord's house today, can you just make some noise? Can you make a joyful noise unto the Lord? If you know that our God has been a keeper, he has made ways out of no way, that he has healed your body, he set you free, he saved your soul, that he is good, can you just celebrate Jesus? Can you celebrate Jesus with me today? Can somebody just throw your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care, and say, God, I thank you for another day's journey. I thank you for waking me up this morning, for starting me on my way, for clothing me in my right mind. I thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We honor the presence of the Lord in this place. Do you feel him in here? Do you feel the peace of God and the presence of God? Those of you that are joining us online, we say hey to you too. We are so glad that you are joining us in worship. To our visitors, our young people have already adequately welcomed you, but I want to add to their sentiments and say welcome. We are so glad that you stopped by the place of peace today. You received the bag, and inside of that bag is a little card, and we ask that you would fill that out. In a few moments, we'll march around for the offering, and you can drop that completed card in the offering basket. We just want to stay in touch with you. Amen. We won't stalk you, maybe just a little, but we want to stay in touch with you. How many of you in the house know that Shiloh is an amazing place with amazing people? And so this is a church that you want to stay in touch with you. Amen. If you're online with us, don't forget to like, tag, and share this broadcast with your network, because there is a preacher in the house today. There's a preacher in the house. not just a preacher, but there's a legend in the house today who will be breaking the bread of life to us. And Dr. Sorries will be more formally introduced by video shortly. But today, Dr. Sorries brought out everybody because I looked up, I came in the pulpit and I looked up, and in my lifetime, my family has had two pastors in my lifetime, three pastors in my lifetime. The first one was the Reverend H. McMartin. The second one was the Reverend Leroy Jefferson, who is worshiping with us today. Come on, put your hands together for the Reverend Leroy Jefferson and his wonderful, beautiful wife, Lady Jeanette Jefferson. Come on, will you just stand and wave your hand at the saints so that they know that you are here? And then we know the third one is Bishop Donald Hillier Jr. But we thank God for them, and I'm so elated to have the opportunity to welcome you to the pulpit in the church that I pastor. That is amazing. Y'all, that is surreal, right? That is surreal. And so it is good to see you, good to have you. And they also are my fellow Perth Amboyans. And so it's just amazing. We also welcome Lady Donna Sorries. Come on, celebrate Lady Donna today. And then not only are these amazing people in worship, we also welcome the newly minted doctor, but Reverend Dr. Denise Bell. Stand up, Reverend Bell. Reverend Dr. Bell. Welcome to Shiloh. She is the regional minister for the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in the state of Georgia, but she also is the sister to our Minister of Outreach and Evangelism, Reverend Doug Bell. And so we welcome you to the Shiloh pulpit as well. I also looked up and I saw that Elder Latoya is home from Ohio. It's good to see you in service. And some ladies are here who are some of my favorite people in the world, who were my grandmother's friends, and they're worshiping with us today. And I got a little teary-eyed when I saw them in the house. But y'all met my very first Sunday school teacher, Mother Joyce Leach. Stand up, Mother Joyce, so they see you. Mother Jared Johnson. And Auntie Barbara is in the house. Mother Barbara Rogers is in the house. It's good to see you. Mayor Adrian Mapp is with us today. It's good to see you, sir. And we also welcome Elder Lorraine Stancil Lawson. You'll hear her in a little bit. In a little bit. What a day we have today. I want to get just a couple things out of the way. Well, not out of the way because they're super important, but I want to thank Sister Brooke Bowers. Where is Brooke? Brooke, can you come here? Brooke Bowers Swain. Got it. Well, hold on. She's busy. So we'll fix that. I'll talk about her in a minute. But, you know, there are so many people that make Shiloh happen. So many. There are those of us that you see out front, but then there are so many people that do some things in the background that don't get as much airtime, but I am so grateful for all of them. Can you just put your hands together for all of Shiloh's volunteers and all of the people who do just some of everything, some of everything. And so I want to ask Deaconess Charlotte Banks. Would you come, Deaconess Banks? Deaconess Bridgers, Sister Margaret Liggins. Can y'all just come here? I have a little something for you. And Sister Eleanor Worrell. Just come on, it's okay. Come on. Okay. I just wanted to give them a little something. You can give it to them. Deaconess Banks, when I came, we had to quickly make some adjustments with the new members ministry. And she has come in, and I had a vision, shared it with her, and she has just maximized it. And you don't know the labor. How many of you know we've had a lot of new members in just 7 months? And I believe roughly 99.9% of those new members have successfully gone from walking the aisle to confirmation And it's because of the work that Deaconess Banks is doing. She keeps up with the new members. She follows up with them. She does all of this that is above and beyond what we even saw. And so this is just a little something that says thank you from my heart and from the heart of Shiloh for the work that you do. Deaconess Bridgers and Sister Margaret, many of you saw our National Day of Prayer, but they lead the prayer ministry. And they're not always out front, but every week they're making sure that our intercessors are positioned where they need. Hey, Sister Leah. All right, intercessor back there. But that our intercessors are positioned and that prayer is going on. We don't see that out front, but I wanted to publicly say thank you because prayer is making the difference. And we feel the difference and we see the difference. Sister Eleanor is the executive director of SHIELD, and SHIELD is our CDC. And so all of the vaccination clinics and the health things and all of these efforts that are happening here every month, Sister Eleanor is spearheading those things, as well as some partnerships that are still in the works. It's a lot of work, and we don't always see that out front, but I wanted to say thank you. And so these are just some gifts that say thank you. And in front of everybody, we want to say thank you to our unsung heroes who make this big old engine called Shiloh go. Can you all just stand to your feet and celebrate these ladies on the occasion of our 114th church anniversary? We thank you. We thank you. Sister Brooke, you ready for it? You ready? Okay. All right. She's finished. Some months ago, I would say, oh, the 114th church anniversary is coming. And you know, it's been my heart to engage younger leaders in leading efforts. And so Brooke's name came to me. Actually, Sister Jalen recommended her. And so I said, well, ask her if she'd be willing to do this. And so I reached out to her, and she was like, sure, but are you sure? She has done a phenomenal job coordinating our church anniversary. And so everything that you have seen today, Sister Brooke led the team in have everything from the did you know facts, all of that. Sister Brooke is the person behind it. Thank you. Thank you. We celebrate you. Well, and we had a team. There's a team of people who were pulled together to help, but she was the leader of the team. And so I'm celebrating her because she's the leader of the team. The leader of the team. It was her that I had the conversation with and said, all right, here's what I have. Now you get with your team and pull it all together. And so we thank you for leading and for being the chair. Will the anniversary committee stand? If you served on her team, stand to your feet. If you served on the team, stand to your feet. And we celebrate you too. We thank you for getting on board with her and for all that you all have done. We appreciate it. We really do. And so keep on leading and look at your neighbor and say, you might be next. Sister Joylette, you might be next. Chairing something around here because we have several things that need to be chaired. Amen. We thank God for all of you. Again, let's celebrate our 114th church anniversary. At the end of service, Sister Brooke, she does have some additional acknowledgments at the end of service, but we'll do that at that time. Guess what? It's giving time at Shiloh. Can we celebrate the opportunity to give? We also know that God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. How many of you are excited to give? Are you excited to give today? I told you, I tell you every week that sometimes I can't even wait until Sunday because I understand the principles of giving, and that scripture tells us that as long as the earth remains, that seed time and harvest will never end. And so I can't wait to sow a seed because I know that there's a harvest on the other side of every seed. And then bringing the tithe, the whole tithe, into the storehouse. What is the tithe? We know that the tithe is 10% of all of our increase. And what is the promise to the tither? That the Lord will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we will not have room enough to receive. And so we thank God for the opportunity to give today. Thank God for the opportunity to bring our offerings and to bring the tithe. Those of you that are joining us online, we invite you to give with us as well. We have 6 ways to give at Shiloh, but you may want to take advantage of our electronic options. We have Givelify, we have Zelle and PayPal. We also have Cash App if you'd like to give that way. But if you give by Cash App, we do ask that you put your government name in the memo, because we don't know who Black Thunder 88 is. And while we appreciate your giving, Black Thunder, if you'd like a statement at the end of the year, we really don't know who that is. That's you, Deacon Rodney? Oh no. No, but if you put your government name in the memo so that we know who you are, but we wanted to make giving convenient. And then, of course, we still do accept the traditional way of giving. And so if you need an envelope, just raise your hand and our ushers would be glad to serve you. But our trustees are coming now as you prepare your gifts. Once you have it, will you just stand to your feet? We're going to process. But if you need an envelope, Mrs. Soares needs an envelope up front. So thank you. Good job, Ms. Keisha, you're on it. But let's stand on our feet all over the sanctuary. Are you good? Let's put the Cash App and the Zelle information large on the screen so that those in the sanctuary can see it. And let's let it linger for a few moments so that they can, enter in all of the stuff and don't have to ask their neighbor, what did it say up there? Leave it up for about 60 seconds so that we can see. Does everyone have their gift? Are you excited to give? Anything, whenever we give, this is the amazing thing too. It means that God has given to us. And that just excites me. It excites me. It excites me that God is still in the giving business. And so let us pray. Hold your gifts toward heaven. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to give. Lord God, we thank you for everything that your word says about our giving, that as long as we're sowing seed, that a harvest is to come, that when we bring the whole tithe, that you open the windows of heaven, you pour out blessings upon us, that we won't have room enough to receive, and you even rebuke the devourer for our sake. And so God, for every giver today, I pray that you would make your word come alive in their lives. And Lord, as you're making your word come alive in our lives, we also pray that you give us wisdom, that you give us direction, that you give us discipline for all of the things that you are sending our way, for that which we will receive. Lord God, we thank you that you make us good stewards over all of your blessings. As we sow these seeds, we pray for the people who will be on the receiving end of the ministry that these gifts contribute to. We honor you and we bless you, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Happy birthday, Sister Diane. Where is she? Diane Miller, happy birthday. Come on, Brother Vincent. Give us some giving and walking music. Hey, hey, hey.
Everybody say blessed. Everybody say blessed. In the city, we're blessed. In the field, we're blessed. Say
we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field.
Yes.
We're blessed when we come and when we go.
Stronghold, sickness, and
poverty must
for the
cease. For the devil is in fear. We are blessed.
Everybody say blessed.
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 Blessed. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
You're blessed.
Blessed.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed.
Blessed.
We're blessed in
blessed in the fields. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We have found every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease.
For the devil is defeated.
For the devil is defeated.
I got these blessed people out there.
We
somebody
are blessed.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the fields.
Yeah.
We're blessed when we come and when we go.
Stronghold, sickness, and
poverty must
for the devil is defeated. Come on, Shiloh, help me sing this. Listen. Late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around. He's going to work in your favor. Somebody stay there. Oh,
late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around.
He's going to work.
He's going to work in your favor.
Somebody say, oh,
graduating senior at Piscataway High School. I'll be attending Spelman College in the fall with a major in biochemistry. God has blessed me in more ways than you or I could count. If I had to describe this past year in one word, I'd have to use the word blessed. What is one of the most stressful years for most seniors in high school was merely a breeze for me. I knew at an early age that an HBCU was the only choice for me. The experience was unmatched, and the ones that get it, and the ones that don't, don't. I applied to 4 HBCUs, Xavier University of Louisiana, North Carolina Central University, North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, and the Spelman College. I'm blessed to say that I was accepted into all 4 schools that I applied to. And out of the 13,000 applicants that applied to Spelman this year, I was one of the 550 admitted students. With an extremely grateful heart, I can proudly say that I was in that 4%. And to top that all off, I am one of the 50 young ladies admitted to the Ethel Waddell Githy Law Honors Program. The program ensures that as I follow the curriculum that I graduate with honors, with multiple opportunities to study abroad, and a dorm with air conditioning. I've been taught that the power of prayer is so mighty and so strong, and I consider it just one of my many gifts that the Lord has given to me, that the Lord, I am able to talk to him whenever and whenever, and he will listen. My chapter here at home comes to a close, and I know that it was all not possible on my own. I thank my parents for constantly pushing me to do the best that not only I think that I can be, but they know I can be. They've instilled within me a giving heart. They've instilled within me a giving heart and made sure that I knew Jesus Christ at a very young age. And to you, Shiloh, my entire church family has built me up and supported me throughout these past years. The parable goes, it takes a village to raise a child, and Shiloh, you are mine. You've driven me home, waited here with me until my parents have come to pick me up, fed me, and prayed over me. As I move on to Atlanta to continue my studies, I will always keep in mind the church that never sleeps. I will miss spending weekday nights in the sanctuary with the dance ministry, Friday night favor in the gym, and worshiping here on Sunday mornings. My choice of study has a reputation of being extremely challenging, but I know that I won't be doing it alone. I'll have a church family just a phone call away, and a God that will listen to every prayer that I have. When God closes a door, he opens many, many more. And as I finish out high school as a member of the National Honor Society, a student with a 3.8 GPA, an internship lined up with the HBCU First program, and it's a paid internship. And the many, many, many accomplishments I have under my belt, I am more than excited to walk through this door. And thank you, Shiloh, for being a part of my village.
Come on, put your hands together again for Sister Micaiah. And for her parents, Minister Mo and Sister Kay Lucky. Come on, let's celebrate all of our young people. All of our young people, and for her, make sure that we are praying for them daily, praying for our young people. I also want to acknowledge Brother Anthony Nelson. Stand up, Brother Nelson. Did y'all know that yesterday, as part of the 114th church anniversary, Jazz in the Sanctuary came back? They celebrated yesterday 12 years, and it was amazing, and he spearheaded that. And so we thank God for you. At this time, will you please draw your attention to our screens so that our preacher, the Reverend Dr. DeForest Buster Sorries, can be formally introduced. Shiloh, just put your hands together again for everything that God is doing today. Draw your attention to the screens.
Dr. DeForest B. Sorries Jr. served as senior pastor of the First Baptist Church of Lincoln Gardens in Somerset, New Jersey from November 1990 to July 2021. A pioneer of faith-based community development, Dr. Sorries has led First Baptist in the development of a $23 million church complex and the formation of many not-for-profit entities to serve the community surrounding the church. Highlights of Dr. Sorries' ministry include recruiting 375 families to become foster parents to 1,400 foster children, helping 275 children find adoptive parents, constructing 124 new homes for low and moderate income residents to own, redeveloping 150,000 square feet of commercial real estate, operating the Central New Jersey Strive program for job readiness, serving hundreds of youth in an after-school and homework club, forming a youth entrepreneurship program, redeveloping commercial real estate, and organizing a community development credit union. In addition to his pastoral duties, Dr. Sorries is a popular speaker at colleges, universities, conferences, and churches around the world. He recently addressed religious government leaders in Belgium at the request of the U.S. Department of State. He was also the keynote speaker at the official year 2000 national commemorative of the National Martin Luther King Holiday in Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Sorries is a frequent advisor to major corporations in the area of diversity, philanthropy, and corporate social responsibility. After college, Dr. Sorries worked on civil rights issues for the Urban League as a community organizer and Operation Push as the national coordinator. After finishing college, Dr. Sorries began his ministry in Montclair, New Jersey, and has served at churches in Harlem, New Jersey, Kingston, Jamaica, and Trenton, New Jersey. In the 1980s, Dr. Sorries contributed significantly to the establishment of the urban contemporary gospel music industry, having made his professional careers of award-winning artists including BB and CC Winans, Tremaine Hawkins, Commission, Paradise, and Fred Hammond. Sorries has also held historical and noteworthy government positions. From January 12, 1999 to January 15, 2002, Dr. Sorries served as New Jersey's 30th Secretary of State, making him the first African-American male to serve as a constitutional officer of the state. Appointed by former Governor Christine Todd Whitman, he managed one of the premier departments of state government and served as senior advisor to the governor on issues that transcended traditional departmental lines. Dr. Sorries is also a former chairman of the United States Election Assistance Commission. This commission was established by Congress to implement the Help America Vote Act of 2002. Dr. Sorries was also appointed by President George W. Bush on December 15, 2003, after being confirmed by the United States Senate. He was elected chairman of the commission on January 5, 2004, at the first meeting of the four-member bipartisan commission. In November 2004, this commission was the first federal agency to oversee a presidential election. He resigned from the commission in April 2005. He is the author of 9 books, including Say Yes to No Debt, 12 Steps to Financial Freedom, Meditations for Financial Freedom, Volumes 1, 2, and 3, and Say Yes When Life Says No. Dr. Sorries earned a Bachelor of Arts degree from Fordham University, a Master's of Divinity degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and Doctor of Ministry degree from United Theological Seminary. He also received 7 honorary doctorate degrees from institutions of higher learning. Additionally, Dr. Sorries has taught courses at Princeton Theological Seminary, Drew University Theological School, Keene University, and Mercer County College. Dr. Sorries has received numerous of awards for his leadership and community service. He was recently recognized by both houses of New Jersey legislature for his religious and community leadership. His work has been featured in several publications, including the New York Times, Ebony Magazine, Black Enterprise, Government Executive Magazine, Positive Community, and Savoy Magazine. Born in New York, raised in New Jersey, Dr. Sorries resides in Monmouth Junction, New Jersey, with his wife Donna and twin sons Malcolm and Martin. Shiloh Baptist Church, please give a warm Shiloh welcome to Reverend Dr. DeForest Sorries.
Please put your hands together for recording artist Lorraine Stansu Lawson. Come on, Shiloh.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name. It is certainly my delight and an honor and a privilege to be here with you. Happy anniversary, Shiloh. Happy anniversary. And certainly I give all respect due to your wonderful, wonderful pastor, my sister in the Lord. I just love her so much. Can we just thank God for your pastor, my friend, Dr. Danielle Brown, and certainly to the amazing, amazing Dr. Sorries. I met him, heard him when my daughter was about 2. We were at a breakfast, and when he got done, she approached him, and she was just smitten, and he picked her up and carried her around all afternoon long, and I didn't forget that. She doesn't really remember, but I just thank God for you looking after her that day, and certainly to the beautiful Lady Sorries. I bring you greetings from the Community Baptist Church of Englewood, where my pastor is the Reverend Dr. Lester W. Taylor, and his beautiful wife, Lady Gail Taylor. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Lady Pastor Danielle. I just want to share, and I also give reverence to my very handsome husband. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think he was the mole when the Lord said, let's make man. Praise us. Amen. Praise God. Certainly it's an honor. And I just want to share this with you all this morning. I only got about 3 minutes, so I'll just get right to it. How many of you have ever had to trust the Lord when you couldn't trace him? You've had to trust him. Shiloh, you've had to trust him. And so I just want to encourage you with the words of the Lord said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. Lo, I am with you always till the end of the world. Amen. I will be with you. I will be with you.
Ah. He said, I am that I am, and I He said that I will
if nobody else trusts you, I trust you. Come on, give God some praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Amen, amen, and amen. I give honor and thanks to God. I thank God for waking me up this morning. I've had cancer and COVID, so I thank God for waking me up this morning. To my sister and friend, the beloved pastor of this church, Reverend Dr. Danielle Brown. God bless you. I never carried her around for an afternoon, but I've known her since she was a child. And the Lord knows that God has God's hand on her life. I couldn't be happier for any church and pastor being together than I am for Shiloh Baptist Church in Plainfield and Reverend Danielle Brown. I'll tell you, I was here for the installation, and I'll be here whenever she tells me to come. This is a marvelous experience for me, and I thank God for her, honor her work. Look what God has done already, right? Yeah. And my old partner, Reverend Thorpe, good to see you this morning. Yep. And to a true legend, Reverend Jefferson. Good to see you today, sir. I greet my friend, the mayor of this wonderful city, Mayor Mapp. Shiloh is the kind of church that attracts people from both inside the city and outside the city. So whether you're a resident of Plainfield or a member of Shiloh from outside of Plainfield, you should thank God that Plainfield's mayor is Adrian Mapp. I'll tell you that. Of course, to the officers and members of the church, I greet you in the name of Jesus. I'm retired now, so I can go anywhere I want on Sunday morning. And I peep in on you most Sundays. I stay away from First Baptist because I don't want to mess up anything for my successor. But what a marvelous celebration every single Sunday. And today culminates 114 years of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. Thank God my wife is here. Now that I'm retired, she hangs out with me more than she did before. Yeah. Two things very quickly, and then we'll get to the word. Thing number one, I've known Reverend Denise Bell since she was a sophomore at Clifford Scott High School in East Orange. And Mayor, when we organized Operation Push in New Jersey for Jesse Jackson, Denise was one of our student leaders. And I'm just so proud of her ministry. Congratulations on your PhD. Congratulations. They won't pay you more money, but you'll be glad that you're finished. And then many of you know that for the last 25 years, I've had the blessed privilege of working along with Sister Carla Beverly. And most of what you saw in that excessive introductory video, Carla Beverly helped make happen, and I thank God for you, Carla. Thank God. This music ministry is profound. Thank you, musicians and singers. Wonderful. When my My mentor was Reverend Dr. Samuel DeWitt Proctor. And after Dr. Proctor retired, he was busy preaching around the country in different pulpits. And when he came to First Baptist, he complimented our music ministry, as I did yours. And he told us that he gets to go to so many different churches that he sometimes thinks the church he's in had a different scripture. And he thought the scripture that they had was "make an awful noise unto the Lord." Because the music was so bad and they were so passionate about singing it. But it's wonderful to have not just praise, but music. And not just dancers, but praise. Wonderful. All right. I did the best I could in being casual. Dr. Brown said to me, "We're casual, wear your sneakers." I'm too old to wear sneakers. I look silly in sneakers. And I did all I could to keep my tie at home. But I love this casual spirit, because we sometimes get so caught up on how we look on the outside that we miss the need to focus on who we are on the inside. So I like this. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I greet all of our worshipers that are worshiping online. COVID changed us, didn't it? We go to church in bed now. We used to stay in bed instead of going to church. Now we do both at the same time. But I appreciate your presence. You know, we're packing in basketball arenas to watch basketball games. Folks are going to Atlantic City and gambling at casinos. If we go everywhere else, we can come on to church. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm reading the New King James translation. Do y'all stand? Do y'all stand when? Okay, come on and stand. You've been sitting for a while anyhow. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Amen. Lord, speak. And if you speak, demons will tremble. Lord, if you speak, minds will be changed. If you speak, Lord, souls will be saved. And so speak, Lord, as your servants seek to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Let me tag this text with this topic, the main ingredient. When I prayed for twins, after having been married for 4 years, it never occurred to me that God could create two creatures who would be born at the same time, be raised by the same parents, live in the same house, and look identical, but be complete opposites in so many ways. It's baffling, it's mind-blowing, it defies the imagination to see two creatures who look so much alike physically that when they were infants, I had to pull the ear of the oldest twin to see if the birthmark was there. Because if the birthmark was there, he was the oldest. And if there was no birthmark, he was the youngest. But as they grew, it was clear to me that their biological identity would perhaps be the most striking similarity between the two. One of the twins is loving and compassionate and warm like his mother. The other twin is less friendly, like his father. One twin would keep his room when he was young impeccably clean, make up his bed, put pillows in their proper place, clothes hung on hangers. The other twin kept a room that looked like both an earthquake and a whirlwind visited him every single day. One twin was so diligent with academics and study that he was literally reading the New York Times in kindergarten. And if he got anything less than an A, he went into a kind of depression. The other twin was very proud of his brother. Two humans growing in the same environment. They ate the same food. They worshiped in the same church. Raised by the same parents, but their personalities evolved into such different people, there were times when we wondered if they were ours. I'm sure the writer of Hebrews was not dealing with the dynamics of biological identity. But he makes it very clear in whatever translation you read that the gospel was preached to two crowds. Says the writer, the gospel was preached to us, and the gospel was preached to them. The writer says, we heard about Jesus, and they heard about Jesus. In our text, it says very, very clearly that there was one crowd that seemed to benefit from hearing about loving your enemies and serving your neighbors and being a child of God. But then the writer says, but this other crowd, it didn't benefit them at all. Says the writer, this other crowd, they went to the same church. They heard the same sermons. They experienced the same worship. They went to the same Sunday school classes. They sang in the same choir. They attended the same prayer meetings. This other crowd, says the writer, was exposed to the gospel, was exposed to the church, was exposed to the ministry just like us, but it didn't do them any good at all. They came to church mean and left church mean. They came to church narrow-minded and left church narrow-minded. They came to church silly and left church silly. They came to church stingy and left church stingy. There were two crowds in the church described by the writer of Hebrews, and he says the first church embraced the gospel, lived the gospel, and grew in grace. But this second crowd, he says it did not benefit them at all. Their religion was from 9 to about 10:45 on Sunday morning. They lifted hands in praise, but would never lend a hand in service. They thank God when God showered down blessings upon them, but had an attitude when God blessed somebody else. The writer of Hebrews says there were two crowds in this church. And he seems to be somewhat amazed because the second crowd heard the same gospel, but it didn't benefit them at all. And after having done his analysis, after defining all of what the gospel is supposed to do, after praying to God for some sense of discernment, he came to this conclusion. The second crowd didn't benefit the way the first crowd did, because the second crowd, upon hearing the gospel and seeing the gospel, they never experienced the gospel, because when they heard the gospel, when they clapped their hands and pat their feet, when they experienced all of the activities of the church, it was not mixed with faith. And so the writer here says, Pastor Brown, that faith, not education, faith, not talent, faith, not tenure, not how long you've been in the church, not faith, is the main ingredient that determines whether I am in crowd number one or crowd number two. And now we celebrate 114 years in this place of peace. And the real question is, which crowd are you in? Are you in crowd number one? Not only celebrating 114 years in the building, not only celebrating 114 years under the banner, not only celebrating 114 years as a part of this legacy, but are you in crowd number one or crowd number two, for whom the singing and the praising and the preaching and the legacy and the history don't do anything at all? The answer is in the extent to which you appreciate and embrace and pray for faith. Now, as I thought about this and pondered perhaps more specifically what the writer might have meant when he talked about faith, because it takes faith to do basic things. It takes faith to eat food in restaurants. You don't know who did the cooking. Always amuses me, young people, when we have dinners at home and we have dinners in church and someone says grace, and sometimes they pray so long the food gets cold. I've got a friend who we would never let pray. Never. By the time that brother finished praying, the food was cold, it was hard, the vegetables got crunchy. Don't let him pray. And then go out to a fancy restaurant and can barely remember to pray. And at home, you know who cooked the food. At home, you know who washed the dishes. At home, you know what you're thanking God for. It would seem to me that the long prayers would be prayed in the restaurant. You don't know who cooked the food. You don't know whose lips were on the fork. You don't know who washed the dishes or if the dishes got washed at all. Strange. So the writer says the main ingredient is prayer, is faith. So, in the first instance, as I think about 114 years of Shiloh, and I think about churches like these that have transcended the fads and have been able to survive all of the difficulties,
have been able to go through many dangers, toils, and snares. What I'm seeing now as I look back in the window, through the window of my mind, all the way back to 1908, I'm seeing a people who are here today because that faith that the writer of Hebrews talks about starts with faith in the possibilities brought by the gospel. Come on, young people, let's walk back to 1857. Here we are in 1857 when the Dred Scott case was written up by the Supreme Court. And in 1857, the Supreme Court says that black people have no rights that America needs to honor. Right after the Civil War. The Civil War ends in 1865. Emancipation Proclamation, signed in 1863, goes to Texas in 1865. Within 1 year, all of the states in the South that were slave-holding states changed their constitution to make sure those who used to be slaves before the war will still be slaves after the war. 1877, the Democrats and the Republicans make a deal. The Republicans won the electoral vote, the Democrats won the popular vote, and so you have Rutherford B. Hayes and Sam Tilden, the Democrat and the Republican make a deal, and the deal was this. The Republicans take the White House as long as the White House removes all of the federal troops from the South, because the federal troops were there to protect the black people who had been released from slavery, but the states would not let them go. So in 1877, Rutherford B. Hayes, they call it the Hayes-Tilden Compromise. Rutherford B. Hayes becomes president, and when he becomes president, he fulfills his end of the bargain. He pulls the federal troops out of the South, and that's when Jim Crow started and the Ku Klux Klan was put in charge of keeping black people down. 1896. Plessy versus Ferguson, where the Supreme Court says when the Constitution was written, it never had black people in mind. 'Why do I want you to know this? And why do I want us to remember this? Because in 1908, anybody who was 43 years old or older was born in slavery. In 1908, when this church was founded, anybody over 43, they lived through the black codes. They lived through the Ku Klux Klan. They lived through the worst times in history for black people. Yet in 1908, they said, I'm going to start a church because there's a bright side somewhere. Black people in Plainfield decide that First Baptist Church was not meeting their needs. First Baptist Church was the white Baptist church in Plainfield, and 24 black people got together, left First Baptist Church, and started Mount Olive Baptist Church. 'Said we need a church that is holistic. We need a church that's not only trying to help us get to heaven, we need a church that's going to help us be somebody here on earth. 1870, and then 38 years later, Shiloh Baptist Church came out of Mount Olive Baptist Church because they saw the possibilities in the gospel. Which means that when the gospel is mixed with faith, we really believe there's a bright side somewhere. When the gospel is mixed with faith, we have the courage to stand even when others tell us to sit down. When the gospel is mixed with faith, we're not preoccupied with who we used to be, but we're trusting God to take us where God wants us to go. Crowd number one saw no possibilities stemming from the gospel. Crowd number two saw no possibilities because they heard the gospel. It was not mixed with faith. And the question today is, as we look back over 114 years and we see the reality that those people, through all of those years, this church came through World War I. This church helped people make it through the Depression. Christian ministry and gospel preaching helped people who of meager means buy properties all over Plainfield, build new buildings, start new programs during World War II, during the Korean conflict, during the civil rights movement in 1960 when Martin Luther King Jr. had to leave the National Baptist Convention because it was too regressive and too oppressive and too conservative. This church helped Martin Luther King Jr. start the Progressive National Baptist Convention. And so when we look at our history, we see a people who heard the gospel and mixed it with faith and said, I believe it's possible. Yeah. Yeah. And now the question is today, are we crowd number one? Still seeing possibilities because of the gospel? Or are we crowd number two, going through the motions, believing that things will never change, things will never get better, and by the way, we've always done it that way? Real faith is more than prayer and praise. Real faith has a concrete, tangible belief that there is a possibility. Real faith, mixing with faith also means that, and I know this is somewhat controversial, but I'll break it down for you. Real faith not only sees possibilities because of the gospel, but real faith includes having faith in a person because they bring the gospel. If I were back at First Baptist, I'd take a little longer than I'll take today, but suffice it to say, read chapter 3. You see, chapter 3 really sets up chapter 4. Chapter 3 basically says, if y'all had real faith, y'all would listen to Moses. And what the writer says in chapter 3 is that the reason so many people left Egypt but never made it to the promised land was because when Moses brought them their version of the gospel, they did not listen to Moses. So chapter 3 goes on to say, now you have a chance to listen to your Moses. His name is Jesus. And if you take the gospel of Jesus and if you'll follow Jesus and listen to Jesus, then you can make it to your promised land. I was so happy to see in that montage on the video screen, in the history of the church, I was so pleased to see all of those many pastors, the picture of Reverend Brent, who I knew, the picture of Reverend Henry, who I knew, all of those pastors culminating with this pastor who I love. And my brothers and my sisters, the reality is this, the history of Shiloh Baptist Church is inseparable from the integrity and the dynamics and the vision of the person leading this church. And I say it's controversial because I know that we don't want to put too much emphasis on the person. I get that. I know that the pastor puts on her sneakers the same way you put on your sneakers. I get that. But God has only called one person to be pastor of this church. And although I know the pastor is not perfect, I know the pastor should not be worshipped, I know the pastor makes mistakes, but I'm here to tell you that the faith that I have in God allows me to trust God to have sent the right person to preach the right gospel so that I can make it to my destination. And you see, the problem we have today, the problem we have is that we go to extremes. On the one hand, we worship the pastor. We let the pastor pimp the church. We let the pastor lie. We let the pastor live any kind of lifestyle. And the pastor, therefore, is not accountable to anybody. That's one extreme. Then the other extreme is, well, I don't care what the pastor says. I've been doing this before the pastor was here. I'll be doing it when the pastor leaves. And somewhere in between, we need people that have faith enough to believe that God has anointed and appointed a person to be the leader for this phase of our struggle. Some folk listened to Moses and made it to the promised land. Some folk listened to Joshua and the walls came tumbling down. Some folk listened to Deborah and God gave them the battle. Some folk listened to Esther and God protected the people. Somebody has got to have enough faith to say God has anointed and chosen that person, that lump of clay, and by the grace of God, I have enough faith to stand in line. Chapter 3 says, if y'all had listened to Moses, if your grandparents had listened to the leader, to the one that I sent, that had never bowed down and worshiped the golden calf, that had never gone out on the Sabbath to get manna when I told them, don't do it. Crowd number one said, crowd number two heard the same gospel. But it didn't benefit them at all because their hearing was not mixed with faith. Faith in possibilities. Faith that God could really use a person to lead us through this phase of our struggle. And then ultimately it's faith in the power that comes through the gospel. Our challenge today is that our churches are full of weak Christians. And there's no distinguishable difference between people in the church and people outside of the church. So for many of us, the only difference between us and those who don't claim Christ is that we go to church on Sunday morning. Because we've not embraced by faith the power that comes through the gospel. When my sons were smaller, they were with me almost every time I preached. And son number two would ask me, he said, Dad, why do you mention power so much when you preach? He was young then. But now he's in his 30s. He doesn't have to ask me that anymore. All you need to do is go to Buffalo, New York. Stop by the supermarket. See dead bodies strewn all over the floor. And a young 18-year-old is so saturated with hate that he drove 200 miles with an automatic rifle to kill innocent people that he did not know just because of the color of their skin. And as recent as last night, I needed power to refrain from using language that is not becoming of a preacher. And I needed power to refrain from thinking thoughts that I ought not think. You want to know why we talk about power? You need power if you go out to Grand Rapids, Michigan, visit with a family whose son, 24 years old, stopped because his license plate did not match his registration. And within 5 minutes of being stopped by the Grand Rapids police without having a weapon in his hands, He lied dead, being shot in the back of his head. You need power to hold yourself back from subscribing to the philosophy that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You want to know why you need power? At the beginning of the COVID crisis, when the leaders of the nation pontificated and the leaders of the state got real philosophical and said, "Mama, you stay home from work and shelter in place. And then little Johnny, you stay home from school and shelter in place. And Mama, you go to work on your computer. And Johnny, you go to school on your computer." Not realizing that, first of all, neither Mama nor Johnny have broadband Wi-Fi. And if they have broadband Wi-Fi, how can Mama go to work and Johnny go to school on the same computer at the same time? So now our children, who were already behind before COVID, are now more behind after COVID. And people are acting like it's their fault that they're behind. We need power to advocate for our children and stop letting the system treat them as though they are the victim when they're the criminal, when they are the victim. You need power. When the United States government lectures people all over the world about democracy, and right here in the United States, they're trying to take our voting rights through gerrymandering and shutting down polling places. We need power. We need power to deal with the reality that black people have been the most loyal Americans in the country. We are the ones that signed up to fight the British in the 18th century. We are the ones that helped fight in the French-American War. We are the ones that fought in World War I and World War II. We are the ones that start our meetings with our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. We are the ones that have stood strong to support America, knowing that America has not treated us the way we deserve to be treated. That's why you need power. You need power when you have ignorant people as your supervisors who are making more money than you. And you've got to act like, you've got to dumb yourself down to act like you are inferior to them. We need power. And so the bad news is, you can't survive in the turbulent times we live in without power. But the good news is, there's power available for those who have faith and receive the gospel. I feel like preaching now, but I got to sit down. It's time to go. Let me just tell you an experience I have. My wife is famous for her pound cake. When I was Secretary of State, Brother Mayor, the state police would volunteer to be my driver. And I thought it was my personality. But the reason the state police would volunteer to be my driver was because my wife would slip my driver a little brown bag with her pound cake. Now I wanted to know what was the secret of this pound cake that made her so famous. And so I observed, I don't frequent the kitchen much at all. The kitchen is my wife's laboratory, it's my wife's office. I'm not a kitchen cat. I'll go to the microwave and that's it. But I saw the basics. She had to get some milk. That's ingredient number one. She had to get some eggs. That was ingredient number two. Then she got some sugar. That was ingredient number three. And so one day I was just experimenting. And I decided that I'd get some milk. and I'd get some eggs and I'd get some sugar, and I was gonna surprise my wife and show her that this reverend doctor with 300 degrees and a pastor of a big church could make some pound cake. And when I put the milk and the eggs and the sugar together, y'all know the rest, nothing happened. All I had was a sweet scrambled egg that was soft because of the milk. And of course, my wife came along and taught me, you missed the main ingredient. You can have all the milk you want. You can have all the eggs you want. And you can have all the sugar you want. But you gotta have some flour. Because if you don't have any flour, then you don't have the main ingredient that pulls all the other stuff together. In other words, she was saying the power is in the flour. I just stopped by on my way to heaven to tell you, you can have 114 years of service. You can have a reverend doctor as your pastor. You can have a beautiful sanctuary. But the power is in the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have power. And when the doctor tells you you have cancer, you better have some Holy Ghost power. When that man tells you he's leaving you all by yourself, you better have some Holy Ghost power. And when you realize that you must be born again, you've got to get on your knees and call on God and summon the power of God. Take me, make me after your will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still, have your way, Lord. That's the prayer. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still, crowd number one, receive the gospel with faith. Faith that God brings possibilities. Faith in the person God sent to lead. Faith in the power that comes through Christian living. Yeah. Crowd number two heard the music, sang the songs, listened to the sermons, took notes, but didn't mix it with faith. Yeah. And the writer of Hebrews says it didn't benefit them at all. My prayer, my brothers and sisters, is that you will embrace the gospel and all of what it means by faith. Because as the hymn writer said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Standing all over the building. Can we just put our hands together again for Dr. Soares? Thank you, sir. I leaned over to Reverend Thorpe and I said he was the right one. Because only Dr. Soares could call the roll the way that he did.
All right.
And connect the past to where we are and give us some direction for where we're headed. Come on, put your hands together again. Thank you, Dr. Soares. We want to give you the opportunity at this time, because we'd be remiss to have all this church and all of this celebration and not give somebody the opportunity to give their life to Jesus. If you're here today and you want to know this God who sustains people for 114 years, has sustained an institution that has participated in the transformation of the world, if you want to be in relationship with this God who will love you beyond measure, if you want to be in relationship with this God who will never give up on you, this God who will always extend his hand to you, would you just meet us at the altar? Would you step out of the aisle and meet us at the altar? If you're online, you can just type in the comments. Come on, you can type in the comments. I want to be saved. And Minister Alicia, Minister Tanita will respond to you right online.
And then here's the second call. If you are here and you'd like to be a member of the Shiloh Baptist Church, listen, around here, it doesn't matter if you joined in 1908 or if you come today, God has purpose for all of us here. Come on. The heart of this church is open, and we're just waiting for you. So if you're here today and you want to be a member of the Shiloh Baptist Church, will you just meet us at the altar at this time? Will you meet us at the altar? And if you're saying, but Pastor, that walk is a little bit much for me, you can stop us in a moment. Our leaders are going to pray for these who have come, and they'll take them to our new member center in the back. And you can jump in line as they go. But if you're online with us today and you're saying, but I don't want to be left out. I want to join this amazing church. Then you just type that in the comments and our team will respond to you in that way as well. Shiloh family, can you help me today? Can you just look at the person next to you and say, are you a member of this church? Are you a member of this church? Say, go ahead and join today. Don't leave here not a member. Why? Where else you going? Where else is there to go other than 515? Where else are you going? Come on, ask them. Where else are you going? But every believer needs a church home. I know that culture says that we can be Christians and not have a church, and I'll tell you that is true, but you can't be a growing Christian without a church. And anything that is not growing is dying.
Yes.
And so will you be a member of the Shiloh Baptist Church, the heart of this church? Is open for you. And now here's our final call today. If you're here and you just need a little extra prayer, as Minister Lucky and our leaders take our new members, can we just celebrate those that have come? They're taking them out, but if you're here today and you just need a little extra prayer, the altar is open for you to come at this time. You just need a little extra prayer. You need somebody to pray for you. Before we go today, you just need some prayer. The altar is open. Would you come? Just come quickly. Come on. Come on to the altar. The altar is open. The altar is open. The altar is open.
Jesus, at the mention of your name,
you don't have to hold hands.
Every knee will bow and tongue proclaim that Jesus.
We're still observing some COVID things, so you don't feel like you have to. If you want to, that's fine, but you don't have to hold hands.
You are Savior, you are Lord, and you are God.
I'm going to ask Minister Bianca Allen, come on, B, to come and pray for you as you come.
Jesus, Jesus, at the mention of your name, every knee will bow and tongue proclaim that Jesus, sweet Jesus, you are Savior, you are Lord, and you are God.
Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, for this opportunity, God, to come to your altar, God, to come to this sacred space in our lives this week, God. God, I am praying with my brothers and sisters at this altar this week, God. God, that you would provide miracles this week for them, God. That you would answer prayers this week, this, oh God. God, that you would give them peace, God, that surpasses all understanding on this week, God. God, as they came to this altar, God, as a sign of trust, God, and a sign of belief in you, God, I know one thing you don't do, and that is let us down, God. So God, whatever it is, God, that we are putting before you today, oh God, God, let your word manifest itself today, God. God, let us be a part of the crowd, God, that experiences miracles, signs, and wonders, God, because we listen, God, to our leader, God, but that we listen to you, oh God. So God, we declare that healing shall manifest itself today, God, because your word says it, God. So we look for the reports this week, God, of how you healed, God, how you healed our minds, how you healed our bodies, God. that you turned around the reports of the doctors because we were obedient to listen to what they said, oh God. God, we believe, God, that cancer shall dry up, God. We believe, God, that COVID, God, shall be healed, God. God, we believe that depression shall submit itself to you, oh God. We believe, God, that even the things, God, that seem minor, colds, allergies, all of those things, God, that they shall submit themselves under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, God. God, I believe, God, that employment shall come to those who are unemployed, God, or underemployed, God. I believe, God, that children shall be able to comprehend, oh God, this week as they sit in class, God. If they didn't get it all year long, God, they shall get it today, God. God, those who are praying for loved ones to be saved, God. God, we look for the report, God, that someone's heart was turned to you, God, saying, I yield, I yield, I yield, God, because we believe, God, that you will, God. And God, for everything else that we brought to this altar today, oh God, God, you heard our hearts. You hear our thoughts, God. God, receive, God, our requests, oh God. God, I believe that deliverance shall happen this week, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, I believe, God, that you shall do, God. You will put us in our purpose, oh God, for those of us who have been ignoring your call, ignoring the word, oh God. God, that even that, God, today, you will give to us, God. So since you've been answering prayers for 114 years at Shiloh Baptist Church, oh God, God, we look for the reports, God, that you have given us just a little bit more faith to make it through another week, just a little bit more hope to make it through another week, just a little bit more love, God, to make it through another week. God, just a little bit more faith and trust in you, God. So God, as we leave this place, God, let us treat our neighbors as we should, God. Let us be kind, God. Let us be the walking resemblance that we have been at the place of peace, oh God. Let us take this place of peace outside these walls and let us minister to those, God, who are in the same predicament that some of us find ourselves in. Because we know, God, that you still raise the dead. You still hear our prayers. You still in the miracle working business. You are still God of all. You are still all that you are. You are still the great I am. You are still God that was in the beginning and at the end. And since you knew us before we were formed in our mother's and father's wombs and they got together, God, let the place of peace lead us this week and guide us this week and bring us back here next week with joy in our hearts because you kept us again. With love in our spirits because you kept us again. With peace in our minds because you kept us again. And let us bring someone else to experience the God that we talk about, the God that we know. Send peace and comfort in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together as you go to your seat. Sister Brooke. Come on, Sister Brooke. It's almost time to go. It's almost time to go, but as you return to your seats, you go in power, knowing that God is able. Knowing that God is able.
You're the only living God, yes. Oh, you're the only living God, yes. Oh, you're the only living God, yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, you're the only living God.
Yeah. We have just a few more moments and we'll go. I have to tell you this. I asked a young person to chair the church anniversary committee. And when she sent back all of the things that they wanted to do in the church anniversary order, I said, well, my God, I thought they said young people don't like all this church. But come on, Brooke, can we put our hands together for the anniversary committee? Actually, all of them, all of the anniversary committee, come on. Come on, it's in your hands. They have a few presentations and then we will dismiss. Amen?
Yeah.
Good morning, Shiloh. Did everyone enjoy this service? Good, I'm so glad, because it was a lot. I'm so happy it's over. I told Pastor Brown I don't need anything for another 6 to 12 months. At this time, we just want to recognize just a few of some of our oldest members. I wasn't sure who they were. So, of course, thank God for Minister Woods, because he was definitely a great help with that. Thank you, Mr. Woods. So at this time, he's just going to read off and just recognize a few of those members.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank God for this wonderful day. Happy 114th anniversary, Shiloh. We want to acknowledge those members, and I don't know if they're all here today, but we want to acknowledge those members who've served this congregation for many, many years. They provided a foundation for the great legacy that we call Shiloh Baptist Church. We want to honor and recognize Sister Victoria Henry. I don't believe she's here today. Sister Victoria Henry, one of our older saints. Amen. We call them seasoned saints. If you're here, please come and get your certificate. Brother Sam Wilson. Amen. He's probably watching online. Sister Dorothy Wyckoff. Amen. We want to honor and recognize and thank you, Sister Wyckoff. Sister Wyckoff is probably watching. She's across the street. And last but not least, I think we have four. Trustee James McPherson. Trustee McPherson, God bless you. Thank you for the service to the Shiloh Baptist Church, for your many years of service. God bless.
And that's all we got for you. We do have some refreshments in the Culture Arts Center. So we hope to see you guys after service. Thank you again so much. Thank you, Pastor Brown.
All right, are y'all ready to go home? Let's stand all over the sanctuary.
Ooh.
And
you're the only living
Reverend Dr.
God.
Bell, will you just pray us out?
And indeed, our hearts experience the burning of the gospel of faith, of power, the gospel that allows us to follow the one whom God has sent, because she preaches the gospel of Jesus that transforms and changes lives. And so now, God, we pray that the seed that has been planted would go deep into the souls of our hearts, Lord God, our lives and our families, that it would take root and bear fruit even now and into the rest of the week. Bless us and keep us, Lord God. Surround us, Lord God, and keep us safe. Allow us to be prayer warriors, Lord God, for what's happening in the world today, God. Extend your hand towards the community in Buffalo, Lord God, and all over the globe. We bless you. We trust you, Lord God, for the word that has gone forth, Lord God. Pour back into your servant, Lord God, DeForest B. Soares, that which he poured out on the hearts of the people. We love you, Lord God, and we bless you. In the blessed, in the holy, and in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Let the church say amen.
Oh, amen. You're the only living God. Yeah. Oh, said, you're the only living God, yes. Oh, you're the only living God, yes. Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you, Lord. For you first loved me, we love you, Lord. Oh, 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 we adore you, Lord. Oh, we adore you, we adore you. We lift you high, holy God.